One of the greatest tasks of life is building healthy relationships. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains God's plan for the family.
When there's something going on with you and the Lord and there's joy in your heart and you're loving the Bible and you're reading it at home, listen, it's going to be reflected in your family because you as a spiritual leader are setting the tone. So many times fellas say, well, my wife doesn't do this and she doesn't meet this need or that need. And they never like it when I look him in the eye and say, your wife is a reflection of the leadership you're giving in the home. God has called you to lead.
Everyone wants to live in a grace-filled home, but it takes time and intention to create healthy relationships with others. In our series, A Grace-Filled Family, we will discover how the grace of God at work in our lives teaches us to love, respect, honor, and build up those around us. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God designed the family to be a place of love and acceptance. Through this series, you'll become equipped with the tools you need to build a thriving marriage and grace-filled family. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Becoming a Gracious Spouse.
A good marriage is not something that happens accidentally. It's not something that just comes together over time. But a good marriage is a marriage that must be built by the grace of God. It must be built upon the grace of God. We learned a few weeks ago that all of us are called by God to be full-time ministers of grace. And I want you to see that in the notes with me this morning from Ephesians 4:29. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, by the way. No godly husband should curse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of, what's the next word say? Edifying. So God says, instead of using language that tears people down, I want you to use language that builds people up, all right? But then notice the next phrase. The next phrase says here, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. So God says in your relationships, I want what you say to be ministering grace, and grace edifies, and grace builds, and grace encourages. So today, we're going to learn how to be a spouse that is gracious, how to be a spouse that is edifying in the home. Now, how many of you have noticed that in the world, there's plenty of foul language, plenty of cursing, plenty of negativity, people that are picketing, people that are rioting? How many of you believe that if you can't get some grace at home, you're not going to get it anywhere? And God wants us to find our homes to be a place of grace. Now, a lot of times in today's society, because of all of the dysfunction, many times people don't really understand or comprehend God's design for the family. And I had a couple of children recently that were asked some questions about marriage. So one of them was asked, how do you decide who to marry? And one little boy named Alan, he was 10 years old, he said, well, you got to find somebody who likes stuff you like. Like if you like sports, then she should like sports, and she should like that you like sports, and she should keep the chips and the dip coming. I'm telling you, that guy just had it on the mark, didn't he? He just, 10 years old, he's got it down pat, right? And then there was Kristen, she was age 10. She said, now no person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all way before, and you get to find out later who you're stuck with. Now hopefully she didn't get that from her mother, right? Hopefully that's not being passed down from generation to generation. Then the other question was, what is the right age to get married? And Camille said, 23 is the best age because you know that person forever by then. Not sure about that. And then Freddie, age 6, says, no age is a good age to get married. You got to be a fool to get married. So I'll tell you what, these kids coming up, they're a little apprehensive about getting married. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about God's plan for marriage. And I want to tell you that if you follow God's plan, he's going to bless your home. Now, I've been blessed to be married to a wonderful, godly woman. And I thank the Lord for a grace-filled family. And not every moment of every day has been filled with grace, but when we're following God's word and when we're filled with the Spirit, it's good in the chapel house. And I want to share some principles with you on how it can be good in your house too. The first way to have a gracious family life is to begin by serving. You're going to have a gracious family when you begin this relationship, not thinking, what do I get out of it, but what can I put into it? How can I be a better servant toward my spouse? And the Bible speaks of this in verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. God says, I want you to have a spirit that is a spirit of servitude. Now the Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister and to give his life a ransom for many. How many of you are thankful that Jesus Christ came and gave his life for you? Amen. He died on the cross for our sin. And if you want to summarize today's message, if every husband would be more like Jesus and every wife would be more like Jesus, we would have stronger families today because Jesus came to be a servant, to be a minister, to see the needs of our life and meet that need. God calls us to be servants in the home. And first of all, he calls us to serve by yielding our own will, by having a yielded spirit. In verse 22, we read this famous verse to the wives, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, men, if that's your favorite verse in the Bible, number one, you're dumb. And number two, find another one. All right, moving right along. Sometimes folks, that's my favorite verse of the Bible. Well, it's not even to men, it's to wives, all right? So ladies, here it is. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. The word submit speaks of arranging under. It speaks of yielding to another. Now let me tell you about this word, because I know as soon as I speak about submitting to a husband, they don't teach that at the university you attended. They don't teach that in society today, that a woman is supposed to support her husband. How utterly ridiculous the world says to that concept. But let's just back up a minute and let me just share with you before we really delve into verse 22 that spiritual hearts do submit. Spiritual hearts, Christ-like hearts, are looking for the opportunity to yield and looking for the opportunity to come into God's order. You say, why do you say that? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When a person comes to the realization that they are a sinner, and they say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior. At that very moment, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in their life. They are born again by the Spirit of God. And God calls upon us as those who now have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. He calls upon us to be filled with His Spirit. We're not to be filled with self. In fact, we're to die to self. We're not to be filled with our own agenda, but we're to desire His agenda. We're to be filled with His Spirit. And God calls upon us as spirit-filled Christians, as Christians that are full of God, that we would literally have hearts that are willing to submit to His will. It doesn't matter if you're man or woman, husband or wife, your job and mine is to find God's will, to find God's authority, and get under God's authority. Andrew Murray said, men ought to seek with their whole hearts to be filled with the Spirit of God. Without being filled with the Spirit, it's utterly impossible that an individual Christian or a church can ever live or work as God desires. So a spiritual heart submits. Secondly, a supportive heart submits. Someone that has a heart to support, someone that has a heart to encourage, is looking to yield and to help. Now let me pause and just speak to this issue, ladies, for a moment. And men, please understand this. Submission on the part of a wife does not imply intellectual inferiority. There are several areas, many areas, where my wife is way beyond me intellectually. There's just some areas she has studied. There may be a few books of the Bible, quite frankly, that she has read and studied and written ladies' Bible studies, and we have wonderful fellowship, and sometimes I ask her, well, what do you think about that passage in Ruth? And tell me about Naomi and her response there. And there's just a lot of areas intellectually. I think of mathematics. I loved history and English, and I was all into literature and so forth, and she loved calculus, and she loved all the upper math. And so when the kids came to ask me questions in high school about calculus, I'd say, you know, you might want to ask your mom that one, you know. And I never really let them know I didn't understand it all, but I knew that their mom had better intellect in that area. Submission does not mean that a woman is spiritually less than her husband. How many husbands here this morning would be willing to admit there have been some days when your wife had a stronger walk with God than you did? Any husbands want to admit that right now? Every smart husband has his hand up, all right? The rest of you, we'll see you at McDonald's later on this afternoon. When the Bible says that a wife is to come under her husband's leadership, it does not mean that she's intellectually inferior or spiritually something less. How many of you know the ground is level at the cross? All of us are sinners saved by the grace of God. It simply means that of her own volition and of her own will and as unto Jesus, she has chosen to follow her husband's leadership. I love what Joyce Rogers, a pastor's wife, wrote about this subject. She said, "To prove submission is a wonderful concept. Jesus became the ultimate illustration of its validity. Although he was co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, he was completely submissive to the Father's will." What an amazing statement. How many of you believe and understand that Jesus Christ is co-equal with the Father in all of his attributes of deity? That's what separates Christianity from Islam, from Jehovah's Witness, from Mormons and other cults. We do not believe that Jesus Christ is just another one of the gods. We do not believe that he's just some man that became God. We believe that Jesus Christ is eternal God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, equal. And so Jesus Christ, an equal person of the Godhead, nevertheless, voluntarily submitted his will to the Father as an example to all of us for the way that we are supposed to live our lives. God has called us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another with that spirit. Now, sometimes I know husbands take this passage way too seriously, and I heard about a husband that got so into this Ephesians 5:22, it was creating conflict in the family. It was like he wanted to read this verse all the time at family devotions. And finally, his wife got tired of it, and she shared a little insight about her prayer life. She said, "Sweetheart, I want you to know I've been praying that God would help us stop all of this arguing by taking one of us to heaven, and when he answers my prayer, I'm moving in with my sister. I just want you to know that." So I don't advise husbands that you quote this verse every time there's a little marital conflict. In fact, if you have to run around saying, "I'm in charge, I'm in charge, I'm in charge," you may not be. I'm just telling you that right now. So what does a wife do when she has a husband, though, who doesn't obey the Bible? He's not even a Christian, maybe. I mean, how does a wife come under that? And how does she operate in that context? Because that's real life, isn't it? Well, look what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." There it is again. "That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." Now, the word conversation, if you see it there in your notes, the word conversation, by the way, your notes are in the outline if you want to follow, that word conversation means lifestyle, okay? So it means that if a wife has a husband that is not a believer, that by her very lifestyle, he can come under conviction, and one day he can be won by the word. One day he can see in her life enough to be convicted of the fact that he needs Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, years ago, we started all of the adult Bible fellowships started getting formed at that time. And one of the classes that we decided to start, we call them connection groups now, one of them was called the ladies' class.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and he is the author of many books, but most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.